Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Born to Talk Radio Show podcast. My guest today is Sean Dyer. He is the Community Engagement Manager for the West Side Food Bank. Welcome to the show, Sean.
Oh, thank you for having me.
I was so happy when I even met you the first time at our Rotary meeting, and I knew this man is going to be a perfect person to be on my podcast because I was so impressed with you. So that's how we met. I thought we could start off by having you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Again, my name is Sean. I'm a community engagement manager at the West Side Food Bank. I'm an L.A. kid through and through, born in South Central L.A. Got my degree in administrative justice from Sac State, from Sacramento State University. A proud father of two, and I absolutely love doing what I do. Although I am the biggest introvert, extrovert person you'll meet, I like the moments of engaging, and then I like the moments of silent when I have to clean up afterwards. So this job fits my personality perfectly.
So you're a combo, are you?
Yes, I'm a combo.
Yeah, I like that. Well, so how did that shape your connection to do community work?
I really didn't know I wanted to do community work. But one of the things I always knew about me is that I like helping. And I found that out through my sales background, that helping is something that I like to do and meeting new people. And this just kind of fell right in place for me when I was asked to do this position.
So that wasn't your first position there at the West Side Food Bank?
No, when I got hired at the West Side Food Bank, I got hired as an order picker. And we have an online ordering system for our agencies, and I would just get their order and I would just put it together. And I did that well enough where I got promoted to inventory manager. And then they saw something in me in that position, and they wanted me to go over to the community engagement manager. And I took the position, and it's been the best thing I've ever done.
Well, that's tremendous. And what led you to get involved with the West Side Food Bank to start with?
Man, I really just needed a job.
Well,
I had been out of work for 6 months.
Okay.
And I was just looking and looking and looking, and I found it just to figure I'll have something that I can keep looking with. But the day I walked in, it felt like home. Like, it felt like this is for you.
But it is a nonprofit, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
Did you know that when you got involved?
If I'll be completely honest, I really didn't care. I just needed a job.
Right.
Yes.
That's really, but you know what, that's, you're just being honest. I don't want you to just pretend like this, you know, you're supposed to not say the truth.
Right.
You were looking for a job,
yeah.
And this must have suited you.
Right, absolutely.
That you felt like that this was something you probably didn't think in the beginning that you would promote in this company. You just needed employment, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't know this was going to be the work that I was built for.
Wow. Well, how long has the West Side Food Bank been around?
40 plus years. 40 plus
really?
Years in the city of Santa Monica. We used to be in a building like about two spaces over, but we've been around 40 plus years.
You know, I feel like I've been there. Do you ever have volunteer opportunities where people help pack things up?
All the time. All
you
the
know
time.
What? And that I think our Rotary Club has been there.
Yeah. I know the Santa Monica Rotary Club has. I don't know if you guys have ever been there before.
Yeah. This sounds familiar to me. So how does the local community support your work? How does this work?
Well, we have online sign up that they can do. But one of the biggest things about it is when I got this position, I used to meet so many people who didn't know we existed. You know, so my mission right now is to get, you know, people to understand what it is we're doing that we're right there in your backyard. You can go to our website, sign up. And, you know, and come on out and be a part of it, man. I try to make it as friendly as possible as well.
What are some of the things that they can do there?
If you can lift 50, you know, we ask people if you can lift 50 pounds, that's great. You don't necessarily have to, but you can come help us in the warehouse, help them pack some of the orders that need to be packed. You can come to our produce sort. You can come to our box parking events. We have our distributions that we do. We have several opportunities for people to come hang out with us at.
And like I said, I mean, people are listening to this podcast that don't even live in California. But for those that are listening that are local, you said you're in Santa Monica, correct?
In Santa Monica, yes.
Okay. And are you open 5 days a week, 7 days a week? How often are you? How long are you open?
5 days a week, Monday through Friday from 7 to 3.
Okay.
And we have distributions at different times, but you're more than welcome to help in the warehouse from 9 to 1.
Okay.
And we can even extend those hours if you need to. But if you go to our website, www.wsfb.org, everything is listed on our website.
It sure is. And I will make sure that people have that access to that, because you have a really superb website. It's just amazing what you guys are doing. It is truly just something. It must really warm your heart to do what you do.
It does, man. Like, it's that thing of if you're doing what you love, you don't feel like you go to work every day. It's hard work at what we do there. But when we have those moments where the community is there and they're high fiving each other and laughing and enjoying, and we're all talking, but we're all there for like the same goal. I don't even feel like I'm working. I just feel like I'm hanging with people. Especially in California, where the weather's nice.
Well, sure, that does help. But we did have some pretty serious fires, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. We did. And that helped. I don't want to use the word help, but that turned us, that made everything that we did go up about 30%.
You know, I wonder if, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I wonder if another way I know about you guys, did you do anything associated with the YMCAs that were doing food drives?
Yeah, a lot of the local YMCAs.
That's what I thought.
We were involved with three of the YMCAs for sure that were involved in. We actually supply food to, and one of the YMCAs that closed during the fire, they took their stuff from one of our other agencies, so that made their increase go up. So a lot of our agencies were affected by it.
I bet. Well, why don't you share some examples of the partnerships that's made such a big difference for you guys?
Well, the YMCA, of course, is a good one. A lot of the local churches.
Okay.
Yeah, those are really good ones. We do shelters and, you know, and it's not always just about the agencies, but some of the partnerships with the with the people that volunteer as well are big helps to us. You know, we had a volunteer group come through, and they want to help us move into a new warehouse. So we've made partnerships with a lot of people, and over this, especially particularly over these last 2 years, that's my own horn moment. You know, that has really reached out to help us.
I think that's just terrific, because there's really a need, isn't there?
Oh yeah, and I'm the first one to raise my hand and say, being an LA kid, when you hear the West Side, like Santa Monica and places like that, the immediate thought of there being need in those areas wasn't there. Like, we always thought that was like kind of quote unquote the uppity side of town. But now that I'm here and I'm in it, I see the need, that there is a real need on this side of town. We service 1/10 of LA. LA Regional Downtown services the other 9/10. And we're working on trying to expand that as well, because there's such a need out there.
But you just have the one location, correct?
Yeah, well, we have two warehouses, but we're like right down the street from each other.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we've kind of outgrown them both already. So that's why we're in need of looking for a warehouse where we can kind of have everything under one roof.
I guess the reason that you're outgrowing it is because there's been so much contributions?
It's a little bit of everything. Well, the biggest one is the need. The need for people who need food, and then the need that we have for spacing. Because the spaces that we use are so small. Like, we're stuck right behind Crossroads High School. So we're limited by access for, we don't have any loading docks, so we have to load on the street. So we have to take our, we have to plan our deliveries according to their traffic. You know what I mean? It's things like that that we have to move into another space. So spacing is our thing right now.
Wow. So let's talk. We have quite a bit of time, my friend, and I want you to have as much time as possible to share all the wonderful things that you're doing. So what's your philosophy when it comes to community engagement?
So my philosophy personally is being myself, and, you know, kind of wear my smile on my sleeves. You know, one of the things I like people to know is that when you come in, you're given 2 hours of your time to volunteer. Like, that's a big deal to me. So to, you could be anywhere in the world, but you chose to do work for free. So at least let me give you an opportunity to enjoy yourself, have fun, meet people, you know, shake hands, meet new friends, and to really feel like you're a part of something in the midst of helping, you know, because I feel like everybody that comes out, like, this is something you want to do. And I want you to be excited to do it again. So when you come out and we shake hands and I introduce myself to you, you know, it's always going to be with a smile because it's who I am.
Right.
And I'm always going to be talking and engaging, and I'm going to make you feel comfortable when you come out, because I'm just super appreciative, because otherwise I would have to do this by myself and they don't pay me enough for that. So I want you to come out and enjoy yourself and have a good time, and, you know, and let everybody know that, you know, I got a cool place we can come hang out. Again, you can't, a lot of times you can't beat the weather, and, you know, it's I just want you to feel like it's more of a have fun thing than a quote unquote volunteer job.
Sure. You know, I'm thinking about your hours, which are basically while kids are in school. Mm-hmm. When it's summertime or vacation time, do you ever have students from the local high schools ever come and help you?
Yeah, I put together a produce sort that we do every Tuesday from 3:30 to 6:30.
Oh, wow. And I love school.
Yeah, and that I put together particularly for, like, kids who need community service hours. Because there aren't much opportunities in our area, so this is a place that they can come hang out. So we get a lot of the local schools. We'll get, you know, St. Monica, Santa Monica. You know, I have kids as far as Burners. I've had kids as far as, like, MiraCosta come out, Sherman Oaks in Notre Dame. So okay. I have high school kids who love to come out.
I think that's really great. I was, you know, the other category that came to my mind were the Scouts, Girl mm-hmm. Scouts or Boy Scouts. I would imagine that, you know, they get service hours and things like that. I would think that that might also be another group of people that may come to your warehouse. Is that possible?
Oh, yeah. We have them all the time. I had a group come this weekend who did a donation for us. I have Eagle Scouts who build projects for us.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, so we've made it a real option for people to bring younger kids in to get them to enjoy this. You know, I have schools who'll come on a field trip, and, you know, they'll come as first and second graders, and I just have them, like, bag up apples, and they have such a great time. And a lot of times they change the energy around there, so it makes it really fun when they're there.
I bet. What makes your approach different from other food banks?
I think it's several things. I think number one is the personal aspect of it. When you deal with the larger food banks, you know, no knock on LA Regional Downtown, but they're like the eighth largest food bank in the country, you know. I think a lot of theirs is kind of, for lack of a better word, transactional. So I think with us, it's, like, really personal. Like, every email that goes out, it's me typing it. It's me saying thank you for being a part of the Westside Food Bank family. Those things come from me directly. I also think there, a lot of time, there's a number associated with the people at some of the larger places. And with us, like, you are a person. So, like, we see those people and, you know, we shake hands with those people. One of the things I think that's different is that, you know, we give out, you know, 68% of our food is fresh vegetables.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, so, you know, what we get, we're giving out really, really highly nutritious food. The service and the support that we get from our agencies that pick up food from us, I think, is top tier. And, you know, whenever we can have it, you know, we allow the agencies to come in and pick their produce. So, like, whenever we can give them the choice model, not just our agencies, even at our distributions, like, I think those are things that that you just don't get anywhere else. A lot of the times they, you know, for as much food as some of the other places give off, they just give you a box with no options. You just got to take the box. You know, we try to set it up where you can come in and kind of pick what you want, pick what you need, you know, so that you feel like you're actually, like, grocery shopping. So I think those are the things that make us different than anybody else.
So you use the word agencies.
Mm-hmm.
So people come in independently, but you say agencies also come in?
Well, at the food bank itself, we don't serve individuals. We work with we work with 60 agencies throughout the west side of LA. They put in an order with us, and we give it to them, and then they distribute it out to them amongst. Now, the individuals that we serve at our distribution sites. We do 5 distribution sites a week. One in Culver City at the Vintage Family Clinic, one at the VA on Wednesdays. The Vintage Family Clinic is on Tuesdays, the VA on Wednesdays. Thursday, we actually do 2, one at Virginia Avenue Park on Pico in Cloverfield, and then Farragut Elementary, which is right next to Culver City High School. And then on Friday, we do the West LA Civic Center. That's where we, as the West Side Food Bank, actually give out to individuals.
I see. So you have 2 different ways of distributing your food.
Yes, yes. And we're working on a few more, too.
Maybe you said it and it just didn't stay with me. Mm-hmm. How is it, where do you get the food from to start with?
Well, a lot of it is, some of it we have to purchase based off our grants.
Okay.
We get that way. LA Regional Downtown has all the big contracts. So, you know, we're allowed to shop from them as well. Farmers, they donate a percentage of their harvest.
Oh, that's
fine. You know, so we belong to a group called the California Association of Food Banks. So whatever they harvest, we share amongst the food banks in the state. So we get it in multiple areas.
Okay.
And then, of course, then the community donations that come in. Don't let me forget about those people. I just did a food drive this weekend that didn't go the way that I actually planned it. But a lot of the community came out. They brought the stuff, you know, went back, went out, came back, brought stuff with them. So the community donations are really, really big.
You know, I'm pretty certain that the Westchester YMCA has done this, because I can remember in the office that they had some kind of a sign, because you could donate cereal and things that don't have to be refrigerated, correct?
Yes, non-perishables.
Non-perishables, correct. That's interesting. So you've been doing this for how long now?
For this position, per se, about a little over a year and a half.
But with the food bank itself, how long have you actually been there?
Yeah, in my position, a year and a half. I've been there 3 years, though.
Yeah, okay, 3 years before you were, 3 years in total. So
yes.
I'm just wondering, I mean, I'm sure you've seen an awful lot of experiences there, and I'm just wondering if there's a story that just has stuck with you that still stays with you today. It was like, I will never forget this. Do you have one of those kind of stories?
Oh, those stories a lot of times come from, like, some of the volunteers, right? We have we have one lady who comes, and I mean, she's such a sweetheart. Her husband had passed, and she just didn't know, like, what to do, what next. So a friend of hers told her to volunteer, like, try volunteering. And now she is a faithful person, like every weekend. And you know, whenever I see her, it's always like, hey, how you doing, Sean? It's a hug. And, you know, she and I have shared tears, you know.
Yes.
Because, you know, I relate to, you know, what it's like after, you know, losing somebody. So, you know, it's stories like those, man. That's why I said, I think what we do, the personal part of what we do, I think it's hard to beat.
Yes.
It's super hard to beat. And then, you know, we also have the stories of, you know, people who are just starting to come in from the fires. You know, once the fires happened, you know, everybody was moving around, scrambling, trying to figure out where they were going to be. And then once things settled, you know, then people slowly but surely start coming in. But we're starting to actually meet more people who were affected by the fires, even a year later. And they tell us their story, and it's like, you know, we've been here this whole time. They were just hesitant to come because they felt like at that point, they had never been in the space that they had never been before. So to have to go out and search for food is what they were new to. So coming in, we want them to feel as comfortable as possible. I think that's where that choice model comes in. And when I can send you an email that has my words and stuff, I just don't think you beat that personal part of coming to hang out with us.
I would agree with you, especially because for some people, this could be, for some people, certainly not the fire people, but for some people, this could be very embarrassing. Like, well, why do you need food? You know what I mean?
Right.
Well, what are they going to think about me if I come in and I say I need food?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not asking for, give me your address and, you know, if you're homeless or any of that, you don't question people, I presume. They just, if they need food, they come and get food.
If you're hungry, we will feed you the best way we can.
I think that's what's so great. And you have a fabulous, fabulous website. And I'm going to delve a little bit deeper into that as we continue our conversation, because mm-hmm. I want to ask some questions off of that website. So I'm just curious about going back to you on a personal level. And that is, how do you stay grounded while you're working in such an emotional space?
A lot of it is just being, because a lot of it is just me. You know, I think the grounding part is where, at any of our like distribution pantries, I see, you know, the people come back and they're happy and they're like, hey, thanks Sean for what you gave out today, or I appreciate the apples, or hey Sean, I just want some apples today. You know, just that personal side of it. I think that's that's like the humbling part for me. You know, and then I kind of like reflect on my childhood. I remember watching my mom not eat. But I didn't know any better when I was young. You know what I mean? I just thought she wasn't hungry. But now that I know, when I look back and I see those things, and I feel like, you know, we're changing that narrative. Like, I don't want the kids to see what I saw. So when I see the parents come in to get food to provide for their families, they're not telling that story. So that is what, in, you know, kind of keeps me grounded in what I do. It's just because there's a lot that you can take home from it. You know,
like, I'm sure,
you know, I hate when people come late and I have to say, unfortunately, we can't give out to you. And they see all the food that's still left.
But I
have to tell them no, because we're generally running to another space, like we're on a, you know, strict time schedule.
Sure.
So, and as long as we say yes, people will continue to come. So we have to make sure we have that cutoff. So that's like the emotional part that's hard to grasp. But we know we're doing it, you know, for the right reasons.
Right. But I can see where that's that two-sided part to that, because of course you want to help them, but you have to stay grounded, as you said, to make sure that you can do what you need to do for everyone at large. You know, I can imagine that can be challenging at times. So when you think about what you're doing in this organization, what would you say are some of the biggest challenges your organization is facing right now?
Gosh, the biggest challenge that we face right now is probably spacing. You know, I mentioned earlier that, you know, we're constrained about how we have our food intake situation. You know, we don't have a loading dock. We have to unload on the street. So we have to navigate our deliveries around a school. With the increase of food, we need to increase our space to bring in more food. At one of our warehouses, we're actually building a 1,200 square foot refrigerator freezer at the moment. So wow. Once that done, that will allow us to take in more fresh produce, more frozen foods that we can give out. So, you know, our campaign right now is, you know, kind of just help us with spacing. You know, there's also, you know, just kind of mentioned before, like getting the word out, you know, that we're here and we want to help everybody. We're working on a project that will allow us to move further east into like a different, to like some different areas to help, you know, a lot more of LA. So we have a few things going on, but the challenges to get those things to happen are hurdles that we're just really, really trying to get over.
I bet that's true. So when you think about your goals, do you have any specific goals that you're thinking about for next year?
Well, of course, when I go back to space, it's securing more warehousing. I think that's probably the West Side Food Bank's biggest goal. But one of my personal goals is because I was kind of given the order of building our volunteer program, or I call it our community program, from the ground up. So right now I'm working on getting our volunteer software. I want to put out a few more programs. So I have, you know, my own personal goals that I would like to get started. And, you know, adding some more programs to where we can get out. We were donated a truck that has basically a full kitchen.
No kidding.
Yeah, so we could be cooked on. We have a truck. We also got donated a truck that we can kind of pull up, open the doors up, and use the shopping style model for produce. You know, so we have things to... We've been donated items that can help us get out to the community more. We just have to find time and space. And, you know, once we get, you know, if we can get this new warehousing, that'll give us more space to add, you know, some more products. And then we could take, you know what I mean? So it's a little bit of, you know, reaching the first goal. And I think the first goal is space. And then once we can do that, we can start adding some more programs.
Sure. That's terrific. What do you think people misunderstand about hunger that you've learned on a firsthand basis?
I think the first one is how close it is to you. I think, you know, when you hear the statistics, like 1 in 4 LA County residents is food insecure. You know, if you take that, you know, just in what it means statistically, that's multiple houses on your own block that you might not know of people who need food, right? So I think that's the one of the biggest things. I think that, you know, when it comes to, you know, communities of, you know, color and single parent households, seniors, veterans, college students, et cetera, you know, it's a 45% increase over, you know, in those fields. So I think just how close it is to you is probably the biggest misconception of it all.
Let me ask you, if resources weren't a limitation, what would you expand first?
It has to be warehousing. It has to be space. Because we want to, like, we really want to grow our program. And we're getting some things to do it, but we just need the space. The warehouse that we're looking at is maybe less than a mile away, and it would be a big game changer for us. And with that, now we can work on getting more food. And once we get more food, we can add more programs. Once we add more, you know, we can add more staff. Let me say that first. Once we add more staff, now we can add more programs. But we can't do anything without the space. So the space is the biggest
vital.
Yeah, it's the most vital thing we need.
You know, I'm looking at your website, which is exceptional, and you have something called Our Programs. Mm-hmm. And what stands out to me now, granted, it's in bold, but it's just the Westside Food Bank distributes nearly 5 million pounds of food every year.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a lot of work, but like I said, man, it's one of those things where if you enjoy doing what you're doing, you don't feel like you're going to work every day, man. And I love doing what I do. And when I go to these, and when I go to our distributions, or I even go to like talking in front of, you know, specific audiences, like coming to the Rotary Club where you and I met, and I tell people our story, man, and we shake hands and they come out and volunteer and they're like, wow, we didn't know. Like, those are the things that make me, you know, I smile about it and I take home.
I bet. You know, this is something else I didn't know about you guys that's on your website, that you work with Meals on Wheels.
Yeah.
A lot of people have heard of that. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, they're one of our partner agencies. There's actually a one right around the corner that we help with. Those partner agencies, they're big because they help us get around to like sections that we don't get to. Some of the churches that we deal with, they're in different spaces. You know, we have St. Joseph Center, St. Mark's in Venice. So those spaces, that those little pockets of town that we wouldn't be able to get to, those agencies help us get there.
That's terrific. And you donate food to schools?
Yeah, yeah. Santa Monica Malibu School District, we donate food to them.
Culver City as well.
Their backpack program. We do one of our distributions over at Culver High School or Farragut Elementary, which is right there, right there next to it. So yeah, so we do schools as well.
And what about the veterans?
The veterans, we have several agencies that work with veterans, Village for Vets, Step Up. We also do a mobile distribution there on Wednesdays at the VA, strictly for veterans.
It's your website is fabulous. I just must say that it is really great, and people can make donations, which I think is also very, very thing. And I wanted to go to this one, the life cycle of our food. Mm-hmm. I think that that's very interesting. Can you talk about that?
Well, the life cycle of the food part, it goes in multiple ways, I guess. I guess it's almost kind of self-explanatory, but a lot of times what happens is, I saw it, particularly during COVID, it comes out, we get it, give it back, goes out, comes out, give it back. It's a nonstop cycle for us. So there's multiple ways of how it comes, but the food itself that we get is always coming in, coming out, coming in, coming out, coming in, coming out.
Huh. Well, I think it's pretty amazing, and I know that people can get involved. And I think your website is really, really interesting. People can certainly volunteer, correct?
Oh yeah. We have multiple opportunities a week where you can come out and volunteer. And all you have to do is go to our website and you can click on the take action portion, and it'll tell you the opportunities that we have and where you can sign up to volunteer with us at.
So what's your favorite part about working with those volunteers or community partners?
Oh gosh, my favorite part. If I had to pick one, it's the smile. Because I'm a smiler.
Yes, you are.
I'm a smiler. So watching other people smile and my same joy is the biggest part for me. Because I think people come out and sometimes I feel like they're doing it because their job is doing it, like it's a task. Mm-hmm. But then they come out and they really experience, what it is that we do. And they slowly but surely have, you know, involved themselves into something that they may have thought about doing but didn't realize that they were actually doing it. And, you know, and then by the end of the day, they're like, gosh, I had so much fun and I would love to come back. And, you know, and a lot of times when they say they would love to come back, they do come back. So I think it's the smiles for me.
Mm-hmm. And what about your impact? How are people being impacted by getting this food?
I think it's the thing what people need to understand when it comes to food is that when your money gets really tight, it becomes like the first thing you cut. And you might not cut it by a lot, but for example, you know, I saw my mom not eat for me to eat. You know, you figure out what you start figuring out what you don't need and what you need, or what can you cut out of your meal list and what, you know, what you need to have. So you slowly but surely you start cutting those to fix other places. So I think our impact allows you not to have to cut that. You can still get it without messing up your pay schedule. So if you're cutting to save your light bill, well, I'm feeding you, so now you can take your money for your light bill.
That's interesting. Can people that are listening decide that they would like, I mean, obviously, if you have to live in the area, so that goes without saying, but can people schedule a food drive, say, at their school, or could scouts do that or something like that?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. They can reach out to the website. My email, volunteer@wsfb.org. I can help them with that. And you know, there's, if you're local and you come get one of our boxes, it has the code to do like a virtual food drive. I think our virtual food drive, I believe it's on our website as well. So we have multiple ways that we can do it.
That's great. I'm just looking at physical food drives, mm-hmm. And specific items. So, you know, not only would you appreciate getting food, but it looks like you would also appreciate getting baby and children items.
Yeah. Cause
they want to talk about that?
Yeah. You know, cause kids are a big part of your family as well. Right. No, most parents aren't feeding just themselves. They're trying to feed their family. So if we can offer you, you know, formula and, you know, things like that for babies, that helps you as well. You know, we can't always get Pampers, but if we do get Pampers, they're great. You know, we don't generally get wipes and stuff like that, but when we do, we give them out at our distributions for the families to have.
Right.
So all those things matter, man.
Diapers, right?
Yeah, they all matter, because we have ways of giving all that stuff out to people in need.
I love this. And even the non-food items, right? I noticed you've got things like emergency blankets and masks and things like that, right?
Yeah, so a lot of that stuff we took in from the fire. You know, the need for masks now has just increased after COVID. So people want to wear a mask now. So we're offering you those. And, you know, when it comes to things like blankets, you know, we have a lady who comes and gets blankets, and she takes blankets out to the homeless. So whenever I get a stack of blankets, I give her a call and she'll come pick those up. So, you know, all those things, even non-perishable stuff, I mean, non-food items, sorry. Those things matter because we have a place we can give them to. Some of our shelters that we deal with, you know, they can take those things. We don't want to give the idea that we'll take them all the time because we need to keep that space in our warehouse for free, unfortunately.
Right.
But when we do, if we can get it, when we get it, we have places that'll take it.
I'm looking at another item on your page, which I think would be very interesting for you to tell us about.
Mm-hmm.
And that's virtual food drives? What is that all about?
So virtual food drives are for people who don't necessarily have the access to give physical food. right? So it's almost like a donation. But, you know, you scan in and you put the amount, or you can say, this is what I want to donate to you guys. So we give people who give stuff to Amazon. And, you know, they can donate. We had somebody donate something the other day, which is one can of chicken noodle soup, right? Huh. But even though it's one can, it still matters, right? So that's kind of where that comes in at.
That's great. And there's a lot of... Go ahead.
No,
go
ahead. So we just try to... We feel like we think about all the different ways to help. Because not everybody can, you know, walk in and give us food, or, you know, your company doesn't always want to do a food drive. But if you want to help, we feel like we give you different avenues too.
Right. Well, just like a local school could schedule a food drive, right?
Yeah. Yeah. They do it all the time, especially during like Thanksgiving.
I bet.
That's our big time of the year.
I bet. What about workplace giving?
Workplace giving. Let me think about that one real quick. Workplace giving. I believe that's the one.
It says that it's twice the impact by connecting with your employer's matching gift program.
Yes. That's where I was going. So some place they'll give hours for you to volunteer. And then with that, they kind of put a price on it. So they give based off the hours that somebody volunteers. So, for example, if somebody comes and does, say, 5 hours with us, their job will give a donation based off those hours that were donated.
Okay. And what about these legacy gifts? Tell us about that.
Some of the legacy gifts are just some of the older the older agencies or the older givers that give. So we have, you know, certain foundations who give yearly. So you can kind of set that up for yourself. I know for example, we've had people who passed and said they want to donate so much of, you know, their estate to us type deal. And they can set it up that way. Yeah.
And people can, you're always looking for volunteer opportunities, right?
Always, always. We always need volunteers. Volunteers are vital because it's only 16 of us, I believe. It's 16
really?
Of us. Yeah. And we have so much stuff that needs to get done. And like I said, when it comes to volunteering, you know, if I don't get them, then I have to do them myself. And like I said, they don't pay me enough for that much. Like I make almost 1,200 produce boxes a week, right?
Wow.
So I need those volunteers on Tuesday and Fridays to make those boxes.
Wow.
Because it's part of the cycle, right? So on Tuesday when I make our boxes, for example, I'm going to do it tomorrow, we'll make our boxes. Those will go out Wednesday, Thursday. Then I do it again for Friday and Monday. Then I do it again for, you know what I mean? So those, they have to get done every week.
And you said, it sounded to me, one of the things that you said is that there is some strength involved in this. So if you can't lift 50 pounds, does that mean you really can't volunteer? Or
right.
is there some? Okay, I misunderstood you then.
Yeah, that's if you want to do something in the warehouse. We'd really like you to lift 50 pounds. But if you can't, you can still help in other ways.
Give some examples. How would that be? Because we've really got another 15 minutes, so I would love to have you expand on that.
Oh yeah. So like the other day, I had a young lady who broke her leg, but she still wanted to help. So I allowed her to come, and she did our produce sort where I just moved the apples to the end of our line. It's a big 700-pound cardboard box of apples, and all she did was hand out the apples to put in the box, right? So she can't move, she can't do anything, but all she can do is sit down, but she was still helping. I've had it where like I get occasionally like the grape tomatoes. So I've had older the older community come in and they bag them up and put them in the produce boxes. You know, I've had them do that. Sometimes we'll get donated like the 50-pound bags of rice. And I've had older community groups come in and they just seal them so we can use those in distribution. So I have multiple ways of allowing people who can't lift that much to do work still.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm scanning your page because it brings up questions to me. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking about some of the stories that people, I know the names have been changed, but this Sadea story,
mm-hmm.
Do you know that story?
I don't off the top of my head.
So it says she's the first generation college student at Santa Monica College. Okay. Not only does she take classes, but she does this all while being the oldest daughter, the sole provider for her family of five, and having a disability. And she says that the bodega food pantry
mm-hmm.
at Santa Monica College has been essential to her success in the school because the West Side Food Bank provides 60% of the food there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is just amazing. Were you familiar with that story?
Not the story, but I do know about the bodega.
You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. The bodega is like a market over at Santa Monica College, and they're one of our agencies, and they order from us, and we deliver them food. We deliver them fresh food. Whenever we get like an onslaught of donations, we give it to them because they help a lot of the college kids, from the community itself. So they're a big part of what we do. We take a real partnership in with working with Santa Monica College.
Well, what about this guy, Richard? This is another story. After serving in the Army band for 2 years during the Vietnam War, Richard came home, continuing his passion for playing the saxophone. Now he plays his favorite genres of music at the Veterans Administration campus and senior centers around LA County.
Mm-hmm.
So, your website is just tremendous. I don't mean to continue to read it to you,
No. But
I'm just saying that what people will find is that I don't think anybody can listen to this and not think about a way that perhaps they could be involved themselves in some way. You know, you don't have to come every day. You don't have to come four times a week or whatever. But there's ways by coming to your website that people could really help.
Yeah, I mentioned this earlier that a lot of this is about the stories, right?
Right, and I love the stories.
Yeah, there are so many stories out there. So our goal is to help people see these stories because, again, I use myself as an example that as a kid growing up in L.A., I thought the West Side was a little bit more fortunate than I was growing up in South Central. But these are people who live on the West Side, and there's a real need for it over here. So we put these stories out, and these are some new ones. So we have other stories. I spoke to the one lady who comes to volunteer because she was lost and missed her husband. I have several people who've come after losing a family member. I have people who come who needed community service hours because, unfortunately they fell into something on the wrong side of what the law allows. And, they came in and they've become a model citizen to us. There are stories on top of stories on top of stories on top of stories in the work that we do. And we want people to know that there is a place here. This is a family-oriented place. I mentioned earlier that I don't think you get this type of personal spirit, this personal touch that you gain at some of the larger food banks or some of the other places. But here, man, we make it a real effort to, to make sure that you're more than just a number. You are a person, you are a individual, and you want to come help, and we want to shake your hand and say thank you, and just everything that lets you know that, that we are here to help. Whether it be in volunteering, whether it be in giving you food, or whether it be, whatever way you want to think about it, man, we are here to help everybody. We are here to help this community.
Well, I think it's great. And And for companies that or individuals that are listening to this podcast with us, what's the best way to get involved or become a sponsor?
Oh, just go to our website. If you've gone through this interview on our website, I think it's automatic that you want to go there, and you know, and just to tap into what we do. Go to our website, www.W as in Walter, S as in Sam, F as in Frank, B as in boy.org, and you can tap in so many different ways, whether it be volunteering, donating, food drives, all those things are real aspects of what we do.
So how do you balance, now this is a personal question, mm-hmm. how do you balance when you are at your job mm-hmm. and you're working with wonderful volunteers that help you do what you do, and then you're working with people that are food insecure? How does it feel when you go home at night and you are able to have your dinner and be comfortable with your family?
I think it's the ability of understanding what it is I do and loving what I do, right? Every day when I get out there and I, you know, shake somebody's hand who says thank you, it's so settling. So that way when I come home and, you know, my family isn't going through that.
Right.
You know, so I feel like I'm making such a difference in, you know, in people's lives that, you know, when I'm able to come home, I can sleep at night knowing that.
Sure. So I'm thinking about life balance mm-hmm. because you have a job that I would say is has a lot of emotion attached with it mm-hmm. because of what you do. So how do you balance and sort of leave that part of your life in one spot and do something that you do for yourself? What kind of things do you do? Do you exercise? What do you do to balance out the demands of your job and your personal self?
I listen to a lot of music.
Oh.
I listen to a lot of music. That's number one. Number two, I try to find different ways to turn my brain off. And one of the things I do with that is try to find something that I enjoy. Like, Martin is my favorite TV show. So I can literally turn on Martin and laugh, and I've turned off my brain. Even though I know what's going to happen because I watched it several times, or watching a movie that I really enjoy, where I don't have to think, type deal. Me and my fiance, we have a place. We go visit Calistoga every year, and that is where we have our favorite restaurants. So we don't have to think about where we're going to have breakfast, lunch, dinner. You know, we go up there. We try to go up there 2-3 times a year because it's the ultimate place that allows us to reset because we don't have to think about anything. So on my day to day, just listen to music or sports or finding something on TV that I've watched over and over, but I still enjoy. And then when I get that time to get away, that allows me to, you know, turn my brain off.
Did you just sort of subtly say that you were engaged?
Yeah,
is that a secret that we don't want the whole world to know about?
No, man, I recently proposed to my fiance in December, right for Christmas.
Oh, that's very nice. That's lovely.
Yes.
So when's the wedding?
Well, you know, it's funny, we talked about it yesterday for Mother's Day that we're still working. We're trying to find like the ideal date that looks good on paper.
Okay.
You know, some people tried to get married, you know, 4-4-4, or they, you know, some type of rhythmic calendar date. So we've kind of like trying to figure that. And then, like, next year is such a big year in so many ways. Our son turns five, so we're like, you know, it's going to be his, you know, his big five birthday. My birthday is January 1st, so at the end of next year, I turn 50. So, you know, try to squeeze in, you know, like a wedding and all this stuff. And tomorrow, it's going to be a big year, so we're just trying to figure that out.
Well, Well, I think that's great. And, you know, I'm switching topics again because I think that this was really cool. People need to understand this, that there are ways of donating where you want to just donate money.
Yeah.
And I was just looking at this one site that if you were to donate $35, it would equal 140 meals.
Mm-hmm.
And you could do it once, mm-hmm. or you could do it monthly, or you can do more than that. But that is really, I think that, like I said, I know I've continued to go back and forth through your website, but whoever's put this together for you has really done a superb job of really explaining what it is that you do and how people can get involved. Because, you know, maybe you don't live in California, but you want to support what you do anyway. I love this picture with this apple that has a heart cut out of it. That's just, I mean, it's just a lovely, lovely website. And I would really like to see people that are listening to just consider making a one-time only donation. I like what your mission statement says. Our mission is to end hunger in our communities by providing access to free, nutritious food through food acquisition and distribution, and by engaging the community and advocating for a strong food assistance network. That really says it all, doesn't it?
It does. It does. And I mean, you know, we want people to be a part of what it is that we do. You know, like I said, you know, I mentioned earlier, you know, I've met so many people who didn't know that we existed. So volunteering is a big part of it. You know, we do our hunger walk every year.
When do you do that? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, we do that the first Sunday in November of every year.
Okay.
And it's a 5K walk along the beach. This will be my fourth one, and every year it's a beautiful day. And you come, you get a swag bag, you get a T-shirt. And, you know, you just take this walk along the beach. It's a free event. It's a family event. You take this walk along the beach, and you see all these people wearing a different, you know, the same shirt, and people are interested in what we do.
Sure.
So our hunger walk is a big deal that we do. So you can bring, you know, it could just be you and your family. It could be your job. You can invite your job. Your job can get involved with it. You know, so our letting people know that we're here. And, you know, getting on a platform like this and being able to, you know, tell our story, and you help telling us a little our story through the website is such a blessing for us, man. So we super appreciate that. I don't want to get out of here without telling you that in front of everybody who's going to listen, that I think that we thank you for allowing us to be on your platform this way.
Well, I totally enjoyed it, and I knew that it would be like this. And what people say to me, so I've been doing this, I've been podcasting or having a radio show for over 10 years. And people say, well, what's your podcast about? And it's a pretty simple answer for me. My podcast isn't about me. My podcast is about my guests. And if you had to ask me what's my favorite genre, I would always say nonprofits, because I think that nonprofits can be great for the person that volunteers there, can be great for the person that receives the services from them. It's just a win-win, in my opinion. And, you know, some nonprofits are nationwide, some are not. But you don't know what someone's listening to this, and they live in Connecticut, and they're thinking, we should do something like that in our community.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't know how you inspire people by just listening to a conversation, because that's what you and I have had. And I just want to thank you, Sean, for, if you hadn't come to Rotary, this would not have happened. So I'm really delighted that you were able to speak at our Rotary Club, and that, which is another nonprofit, and people mm-hmm. can involve themselves in Rotary. So I just want to say thank you for sharing what's important to you with our listeners today. It's really been wonderful.
Yeah, man, this type of work is really been touching. You know, I've done so much work in different fields, but the same thing. You know, like, I come from a background in sales, and I was in sales probably, you know, maybe 15 years total. You know, planes, trains, automobiles, and, you know, the ideal of engaging with them, But that's transactionally. Like these, the you know, what I do now doesn't feel transactional. It feels fun. It feels friendly. It feels community oriented. It feels everything that you want community engagement to be. So this, it's I feel like I was built for this.
You were. So thank you so very much. I hope to see you again, and maybe I can come down sometime and do some volunteering as well.
Anytime you want to, Miss Marcy, you are welcome.
Okay. Well, have a great rest of your day, and thanks again for being a guest on the Born to Talk radio show. This has just been delightful.
It was a pleasure being here. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye for now, everybody. All right.